In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now in 1 John chapter 1, the part that I wanted to focus on is really the verse where he says in verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." He's saying, "I'm writing this epistle to you that your joy would be full." Now, everybody in this world wants to have joy, right? I mean, even the most unsaved person that's just an ungodly person, and they don't go to church, they want nothing to do with God or the Bible, they still want to have joy in their life. I mean, everybody wants, I guess the word that we would more think of is happy. Everybody wants to be happy, right? There's nobody who wants to go through life down and gloomy and unhappy. Everybody wants to have joy in their life. And God is saying here that this book is written to help us have the fullness of joy that only He can provide. Now, the way that the world thinks that joy will come to them, and I've listed several things of things that people do or participate in order to have joy, in order that they might be happy, is actually the opposite things of what God says will give you joy and make you happy. Now, the first thing that the world tells you is going to bring you joy is sin. Now, look down at your Bible here. It says in 1 John 1:4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Look at chapter 2, verse 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." So here he's saying, "I'm writing this to you, that you sin not, and that your joy may be full." Because the way to have the fullness of joy is to get the sin out of your life, is what he's saying here. But look at verse 5 of chapter 1. He says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now turn, if you would, to Psalm 51. Right in the middle of your Bible is the book of Psalms. Look at Psalm chapter 51. You say, "Well, I don't think anybody thinks that sin is going to bring them joy." Of course they do. That's the only reason why anybody even commits sin. Because they think that it's going to give them some kind of enjoyment. I mean, if sin did not bring enjoyment, why would anyone do it? Right? The world is on a quest for joy. They're on a quest for enjoyment. They're on a quest for pleasure and happiness. And it leads them down a path of sin. They think that drinking will bring them joy and pleasure. They think that fornication is going to give them joy in their life. They think that going to watch all the movies and all the rock concerts and all the entertainment that the world has is what's going to give them joy in their life. But God said, "I'm writing this book to tell you how to have the fullness of joy, and that's that you sin not." You see, sin will actually take away your joy. Look at Psalm 51, verse 10. The Bible reads, this is after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. So he committed an awful sin. It says in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." You see, he had lost his joy. He hadn't lost his salvation. He didn't say, "Oh God, restore unto me my salvation." He said, and this is in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus saves eternally. Once saved, always saved. And in the Old Testament, David said, "Restore unto me, not my salvation, but restore unto me the joy of my salvation, of thy salvation." He's saying, "I've lost my joy." And the best way to lose your joy in your life is to go into a life of sin. You're not really happy when you go out and sin. But you always think you're going to be happy when you sin. You see, the devil is a deceiver. He deceives the whole world, the Bible says. Now, have you ever seen a bullfight before? Put up your hand if you've ever seen a bullfight. You know what I'm talking about? And they take, of course, the matador takes that red, whatever it is, you know, cloth, and he waves it around. And the trick is that the bull thinks that there's something behind that red cape. You know, he thinks that there's something there. He's being deceived. But when he gets there, there's nothing there. It's just wind, you know? And he ends up looking like a fool, right? The purpose of a bullfight is for the matador to make the bull look like a fool. Because he waves something out there and he goes to attack it. And he just goes right through. There's nothing there. The bull falls and trips and whatever. Because he's being deceived. Well, the devil is a deceiver. And he'll hold something up to you that's an illusion. That's an image of something that you think you want, that's going to make you happy or bring you joy. And you go running toward it, but when you get there, you find there's nothing there. It's all an illusion. I mean, TV is an illusion. These billboards that are up, glamorizing alcohol, glamorizing drugs, glamorizing cigarettes, glamorizing fornication. It's an illusion. Once you, and kids grow up,
And they look at this stuff and they think, boy, I can't wait till I get out of my house and I can go out and dabble in the sin. I can see what the bar is really like. I can see what drugs are like, see what alcohol is like. Hey, they will find out that it is not what it's cracked up to be.
Right.
Okay. The devil has nothing to offer you. The world has nothing to offer. It's not what it's cracked up to be. And yet, name one good reason to drink besides that it's going to give you enjoyment. Isn't that the reason why? I mean, the whole point of drinking is what? To have joy. The whole point of smoking is what? To feel good and enjoy life. Enjoy Marlboro. You know, enjoy Camel. The whole point of taking drugs is to have joy. The whole point of going and watching a filthy movie is to make you happy, to make you joyful, to make you laugh at the jokes and have fun. And yet, if you go today to the person who's the biggest drunk in this city, ask them if they're happy today. They're not. Ask those that are on drugs if they're happy. Ask those who live a life of sin and fornication and sleeping around. Ask these students at ASU, are you happy? Are you satisfied with your life? And they'll tell you, I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. I wish there was something more to life than this. That's why there's suicide. That's why people are on dope. That's why people give up on life. Because they can't find happiness in a life of sin. And that's where the devil will tell you it is. That's where TV will show you that it is. But it's a lie. They can't find the happiness that they crave. Why? Because joy is found. Look at Hebrews. I'm sorry, Psalm 16. You're in Psalm 51. Just flip back to chapter 16. While you're turning there, let me read this for you. This is from Hebrews 11. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin has pleasure for a season. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say, oh, sin is never fun. Then why would anybody do it? Because it does have pleasure for a season. But look down at Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You see, there's the pleasure of sin for a season. Then there's the pleasure of serving God. The joy of being at the right hand of God and having pleasures forevermore. Not a temporary fun. I mean, not a temporary, a fun night, and then the next morning you regret it. 5 minutes later, you regret what you've done. 10 minutes later, you regret the sin that you participated in. There's no joy in a life of sin. And yet there's no reason to sin but for enjoyment. It doesn't make any sense. And so we need to understand what the Bible says joy is really found. It's not found in a life of sin. But number two, look at Luke chapter 6. It's also not found in popularity. You know, most people would tell you that if you want to be happy in life, it's to have a lot of friends and be popular for people to like you. I mean, think about it. Just stop and think right now. What does the world think happiness is or joy is, right? They'll tell you, well, number one, you know, it's out... Man, drink, have fun, party, you know, enjoy life to the fullest, they call it. Means sleep with as many people as you can, drink as much as you can, party as much as you can, watch every filth that Hollywood puts out. But number two, somebody will say, no, that's not joy. Joy is friends, popularity, people liking you. You know, it's the people that matter. Well, look down at this verse in Luke 6:22. Tell me if God is saying that joy is found in popularity. He says in verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Now that's a little different than what the world thinks that enjoyment and blessing is. He says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company. That's not popularity. That's being left out of the group. That's being sent away from the cool crowd. And shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and watch, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. God is saying here, look, when people cast you out of the group, they put you away from the inner circle, when they cast out your name as evil, that stupid Stephen Anderson, you know, blankety blank Stephen Anderson, hey, that should bring me joy, God is saying. Hey, he's saying, leap for joy. I mean, like, woo! Yes! People hate me! Great! That's what he said. Rejoice. Be glad. Because he said, look, enjoyment is not found in popularity. There are movie stars out there that are very popular. I guarantee you, if these movie stars walked into any restaurant in Phoenix, right? You know, if they walked into any bar or restaurant or place of recreation, you know that people would just rally to them. Huh? I mean, think about it. If these movie stars and these Hollywood stars, if Britney Spears, you know, or Angelina Jolie or Brad Pitt or whoever, if they walked into one of these places, people would rush to them. People would praise them. People would say they were wonderful. They'd get the autograph. They'd be saying, can I get my picture taken with you? And yet, are those people happy? Those are the ones that are suicidal. Those are the ones that are in rehab. You know it's the truth. Why are they not happy when they live the life of sin with no restraint, no guideline, no Christianity holding them back? Number two, they have all the popularity, all the friends, everybody loves them, and their name is lifted up as wonderful in this world. And yet they're unhappy. Yet they don't have joy. Why? Because joy is not found in popularity. Keep reading. He says in verse number 24, but woe unto you that are rich. Number three, what do people think is going to bring them happiness and joy? Money, right? If I could just get through my financial problems, I'll have joy. If I could just have enough money to live comfortably, you know, I don't want to be rich, but I just want to live completely comfortably and be able to do whatever I want and go wherever I want. That's what being rich is, okay? You know, I don't want to be rich. I just want to have a fancy house and a nice car and just be able to just go wherever I want, do whatever I want every day. Okay, that's called being rich. He said, woe unto you that are rich, for you've received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Now these are the things that are the opposite of what we would think. We would think, hate your enemy, right? Love them that love you and hate those that hate you. But God says, no, love your enemy. It's a blessing to be hated. It's a blessing to be reproached. He said it's a blessing to be hungry. Now the rich man doesn't know what it's like to be hungry. But you know what? There's nothing more enjoyable than being hungry. You say, wait a minute, being hungry is painful. Not when you get to eat. Think about this. I mean, what if you were just full all the time? What if you could? What if I could feed you a meal today, and you'd never be hungry again? Would you eat that meal? I wouldn't, because I like being hungry. Because when you're hungry, then you get to have the joy of biting into food, right? And that's a lot of joy. But see, people that are full, the Bible says the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. See, God sometimes wants to keep us a little bit hungry in life. He doesn't give us everything we want. He doesn't give us everything we're hungry for. He wants to keep us a little bit hungry. That way we'll be happy and thankful for the little things. I mean, I remember when I went to Germany, there was never enough to drink. Because when I went there this time, I just guzzled tap water. Because my wife said the tap water is fine. But when I first went there, everybody told me, just, you cannot drink the water. The water's bad. Don't drink the tap water. Nobody drinks it. That's what they told me. So I had to drink out of, you know, bottles of water, bottles of, you know, it was carbonated water, bottles of juice or whatever. Well, everybody there was kind of stingy with the beverages because, you know, they're expensive, right? It's all these bottled beverages. And so I felt bad every time I'm drinking their water, every time I'm drinking their juice, because they have these juice boxes that are like this big. It's for the whole family. That would be like my, okay, here's mine. Where's, you guys have a juice box, you know? That's like, no, that's for everybody, you know? And then you'd go to a restaurant. No free refills in Germany. Never. I mean, I remember when it was like that in the United States. Thank God we made a little progress. But I remember when I was a kid, no free refills at restaurants. And so you get these little cups, and they have a little line. Each cup that you get at a restaurant in Germany is like a measuring cup. You think they could just pour it in, fill the glass, here you go, here's the glass, or whatever. Not only are there no refills, but they have this little line, and they fill it right to that little line. They're not going to give you a drop more. And so you drink, you know, it's like one sip, you're just gulp, done. And so I was thirsty for 3 months when I was in Germany. Literally, just 3 months, I was never fully satisfied with drink. When I got home, the next morning, I got home late at night on an evening time, I got up early the next morning, I got in the car, the first place I went was the grocery store, right by my house. I bought bottles of carbonated water, bottles of juice and just guzzled. I was just mixing grape juice and carbonated water and just guzzling grape soda. Just guzzling and drinking. I was like, this is great! And just for months after that, just apple juice. Oh, so good. Just everything was so good. Why? Because I was thirsty. Because I was hungry. But you see, the person who goes out, listen to me carefully, because this is important for understanding how to have joy. Don't you want to be happy in life? Don't go through life down in the dumps and having a bad attitude. And you know, many of the problems in your life on the job, problems in the home, problems at church, is just a bad attitude. Not having joy, right? Just being in a bad mood. Hey, be happy and joyful. Listen to the sermon and learn how to have some joy. I'm telling you how to do it from the Bible. So look, this is how you have joy. The person who goes out and just gives themselves everything they want, they're just full all the time. They can't enjoy anything anymore. The honeycomb is not sweet to them. Nothing is good. I mean, the person who goes out and drinks and takes drugs to make themselves tingle or whatever it's going to do to them, they can't enjoy a trip to the zoo. Right? It's boring. They can't enjoy a walk in the park. It's boring. They can't enjoy a nice drive. It's boring. And people who go and just, all they do is watch movies, go to a rock concert. If they're not banging their head or screaming or jumping up and down or watching things explode or watching pornography, they can't enjoy it. But the person who lives a life hungry can go through life and just enjoy the little things. Just enjoy sitting down for dinner. Just enjoy sitting down for lunch. Just enjoy drinking a glass of juice. Drinking a glass of water. Just enjoying taking a hike or a walk. You know what I mean? Just enjoying the simple things of life. Enjoy the scenery. Enjoy having a conversation. But you can enjoy more when you're hungry. Because you'll like the way everything tastes when you're hungry. And some of you that go through life and you think that the world owes you a living. And so you just, my name's Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. You just constantly are feeding yourself, constantly giving yourself everything that you want. God may need to bring you into a place in your life to make you a little hungrier so that you'll start to appreciate things. And that's why God will do that to some people. He'll take away the money. He'll take away your house. You know, you complain about your house, maybe he'll put you in a worse house. Get you hungry to where you'll just be glad that you live in a house. You know, you complain about the food that you eat. And kids, don't ever complain about the food that mom and dad feed you. There are people today who would love to eat that food because they're starving right now. And yet, you'll complain because it's not exactly what you wanted. God may put you in a position where he'll have to make you hungry so that you'll learn to appreciate food. So that you'll learn to appreciate what he gives you. And so, keep reading though. He says, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. He said, love your enemies. On and on. Look at verse 29. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same, even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend hoping for nothing again. By the way, that's always the best way to lend things, you know. Whenever you loan anything to somebody, just buy a new one the next day because you're never going to see it again. It's true. And so he says, lend expecting to receive nothing again because you're not going to get it back. He said, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He says, look, rejoice, leap for joy when you have nothing, when you're hated, when your name's cast out as evil, when somebody smites you and you turn the other cheek, there's joy in that. There's enjoyment when you do what's right. There's enjoyment to be hated and to still stand your ground and to love those that hate you. Hey, that's the recipe for joy in your life. Now, if you don't believe me, then go walk out of here and go ask the world how to have joy. Go ask Hollywood how to have joy. They'll tell you the opposite. They'll tell you make money, have friends, have people love you, have a popular name, have a good reputation, have a name that people love, Have a name that people love to hear. Have people rallying around you, supporting you, thinking that you're wonderful. Money, fame, popularity, it's a lie. Feed yourself what you want. It won't make you happy. Have you ever seen little kids who get everything that they want? They throw themselves on the floor in the grocery store and throw a fit because they're not happy. They cry. The kids that you see walking around frowning all day, mad, are the ones who are given whatever they want. They're unhappy. You know it's true. But the kids who have boundaries, the kids whose parents keep them on a schedule of, hey, you're going to work, you know, this is what you're going to eat. You can't eat whatever you want. You can't do whatever you want. You can't say whatever you want. You can't be whatever you want. Those are the kids that are smiling this morning. Those are the kids that are happy. But not only that, look at James chapter 1. Right at the end of the Bible, just a couple books before Revelation, look at James. James chapter 1. So number one, the world's going to tell you that sin is going to bring happiness. That's why they're even out sinning. There's no other explanation for committing adultery, but that it's going to bring you some kind of joy, right? It's not going to help you in any other way except for fun or joy. There's no other explanation why you'd go out and sin and do wrong and drink and all that stuff. It's to bring you joy. But does it bring joy? No. It's a lie. God said, I write these things unto you that you sin not, that your joy may be full. One and the same. But he says also that popularity is not going to bring you enjoyment. You're not going to have joy from being full. You're not going to have joy being rich. What else is not going to bring joy? Carefree living. We think that we'll have joy if we can get all the stress and problems and cares out of our life, right? If we just get rid of all the stress and just kind of coast through life without any problems. He said, you know, people will say that's going to bring you joy. But look at verse number 2 of James 1. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now turn to 1 Peter 1:3. Just go forward a couple of pages in your Bible. Just right after James, you'll see 1 Peter 1:3. He's saying, look, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He's saying joy is found in going through problems, going through struggles, trials, tribulations, temptations. He's saying, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Look at 1 Peter 1:3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. God says that there's joy unspeakable in being a Christian, in believing on Jesus Christ, knowing that you have an inheritance incorruptible in heaven. He said, and going through the trials and tribulations and temptations that are associated with being a Christian. It brings joy. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not perfect. I've got a long ways to go. I'm growing. You're growing. We're both trying to reach the higher ground, trying to be a better Christian. But I can tell you one thing. I am happy. I mean, you can say whatever you want about me. I have my faults. You can criticize me, and I'm sure you'd be right on many things if you criticize me. But one thing I can tell you is that I'm a happy person. I have real joy. I mean, not a day goes by that I don't enjoy. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Anybody who knows me, anybody who's been around me, knows that I live a life of joy. You say, well, that's just because you get everything that you want in life. I know. No, I'm just kidding. No. Oh, man, Pastor Anderson, you got it made. That's why you have joy. Everything goes your way. You have more than heart could wish. You have everything anybody could want. That's not true. I've got trials. I've got tribulations. I've got temptations. But I'm going to tell you something. I have joy in my life, period. I enjoy life. You say, why do you enjoy life? What is it that gives you joy? Listen to the sermon and learn how to have joy on it. I'm telling you, I'm a joyful person. Nobody who knows me can deny that. They can say my car's messy, they'll be right. They can say there's stuff broken around my house that needs to be fixed, they're right. You know, what, anybody else want to stand up and name some things? Things are going through your head right now. Say whatever you want. Say that I'm uncouth or mean. You know, say whatever you want about me. Nobody can say that I'm a gloomy person. Come on up here and say that to somebody. Come on, see what happens. Look, hey, nobody's going to say that I don't enjoy life. Nobody's going to say that I don't have joy. I know what I'm talking about. If there's one thing I know, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know to have joy in life. Now, I don't know everything, but I know how to have joy. I'm a happy person. Why am I happy? Is it because I live a life of sin? No. Is it because I'm popular? That's a joke. Huh? Oh, it's because you're rich. Come with me to the bank. Let's go. Let me show you my bank statement, and you tell me how rich I am. Oh, it's because everybody loves you. You mean the people that are, I can count on these two hands that love me? No, look, I'm not popular. Let's face it. Now, there are people that like me and people that love, right? You know, there's some people that like, that's why you're here, I hope so. But hey, there are a lot of people that don't like me. And by and large, I'd say I'm unpopular. By and large, I'm hated. By and large, people don't like me. But yet, I'm joyful. Why? Why is it that I'm joyful? Is it because my life is carefree? Because I just cruise through life. I just breeze through life. I mean, look, I work a lot of hours at my job like you work the long, hard hours. I go through discomfort and hunger like you go through discomfort and hunger. I have people attack me and criticize me like you have people attack you and criticize you. I have problems on the job like you have problems. I have stress like you have stress. I have things, I have bills that mount up. I have financial problems from time to time. I've got stress and worry and things that are weighing down on me, responsibilities. I've got to carry many things on my shoulders just like you do. It's not carefree living that will bring you joy. It's not money or popularity that will bring you joy. It's not going out and drink. I've never even tasted beer, and yet I have joy. I've never done drugs, yet I have joy. What is it that gives me joy? What is it that makes me happy? What is it that brings joy? We know what it's not. Let's see what it is. Look at Galatians chapter 5, for example. While you're turning there, I'll read you something else. Listen to this. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Did you hear that? People who are in deep poverty. And the Bible is not using that term lightly. That doesn't mean that they're still driving an O2. You know what I mean? When it says they had deep poverty. He's saying they don't even know where their next meal is going to come from. I mean, these are people that are starving. I mean, they don't have food to eat. He's not saying that they're wearing clothes from like last fall, you know, and they're so out of style. He's saying these people are deep in poverty. These people don't know where they're going to stay. These people don't know what they're going to eat. And yet he said that they had an abundance of joy. Plenty of joy. He said, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. And this they did not as we hoped, verse 5, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now look down at Galatians 5, familiar passage, the fruit of the Spirit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What's the second thing listed? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Right? Joy. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Go back in your Bibles, just a few pages. Romans 14. And look at verse number 17. The Bible says in Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. So God is saying here that joy is to be found in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Joy is to be found in serving Christ, he said. And he said, I want you to serve Christ in righteousness. That means living a right kind of life, living a clean and godly life. He said, I want you to serve God in peace. Peace means you're not worried, you're not stressed, you're not worrying about tomorrow. But he said, I want you to serve God in joy in the Holy Ghost. Look, joy is found in serving God, believing on Jesus Christ, knowing that you have a home in heaven. You can have more joy doing what's right. I'm going to tell you something. The people who are going to have joy are the people who go out soul winning this afternoon and come to church tonight. Period. I mean, say whatever you want. Sit there and disagree with me. Do whatever you want. I'm going to tell you something. Tonight, when it's all said and done, when everybody goes to bed tonight, the people who go out and try to enjoy everything else, you know what I mean? They go out and do all the other stuff that's out there, and they skip soul winning and skip church, are the people who are going to lack joy. It's the truth. I mean, if we just stopped everything and just froze time at about 10 o'clock tonight, and we just went around and checked everybody's joy level. You know, we just kind of like, you know, we just take their wrist, and just, you know what I mean? And just like check, if there was some joy check that we could do. The people who went out soul winning and won somebody to Christ, are you going to tell me that they'd be down in the mouth when they won somebody to the Lord today? You know they'd be in a good mood. You know they'd be happy. You know who's going to walk into church tonight and sing out the loudest and be the happiest? It's going to be the people who went out and won somebody to Christ. That's going to bring joy. Go ahead and go to the movies this afternoon and let's see how happy you are when you walk out the door. When you walk out the door and you're going like this, you know, because you've been in the dark, and, you know, you come out and it's all bright and everything. Let's see how happy you are. Let's see how happy today's movie makes you tomorrow morning. But you know what? Tomorrow morning, you'll still be happy about church. You'll still be happy about the souls that you want. Hey, I'm happy today about people that I won to Christ like 10 years ago. I'm still happy about it. It's still making me happy. Even on my worst day, even when everything's going wrong, I can think, hey, thank God for the life that I've been privileged Amen. To live. Amen. Thank God for the people I've already won to the Lord. Thank God that God's already used me. Even if I wasted the rest of my life has not been in vain. Even if I died today, I've lived a life worthy of living because I served Jesus Christ. What's that worth? It's worth more than all the money can buy in the world to go to bed with a clear conscience. What would you pay to go to bed with a clear conscience before God and man? What would you do to live a life that's acceptable to God? A life that matters for all eternity. A life that's not laying up treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Hey, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm going to tell you something, there's joy in the Holy Ghost. There's joy in the presence of God. At thy right hand, David said, there are pleasures forevermore. The happiest people that you'll meet are the people that are serving God. Amen. Are they perfect? No. They have money? No. They popular? No. Everybody love them? No. They rich? No. They out just indulging their appetites and flesh? No. The happiest people you meet are the people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Period. Because the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that the Holy Spirit will bring forth in your life is love. And it's joy. And it's peace. And you know, peace brings joy. Nobody really is joyful while they have stress. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you live a life of stress where you're worrying about things bad that are going to happen, you're worried about money, you're worried about tomorrow, that's not enjoyable. I mean, you're not going to be happy like that. But the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When you're worried about everything, you're not going to be happy like that. But when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you have love, you have joy, you have peace. And so that's a formula right there. And there are many other things listed that we could go into if we had time. Where did I have you turn? Romans 14. We already read it. Look at... let me turn my page here. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you would. And while you're turning to 1 Thessalonians 2, I'll read for you 3 John verse 3. The Bible reads, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy
than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, he was not talking about a physical child here. He was talking about a man that he had won to the Lord. Just as Paul called Timothy his son in the faith, just as Paul called Titus his son after the common faith, just here John is talking to his son in the faith, Gaius, a man that he won to the Lord. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that Gaius is walking in truth. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. These are people that were won to the Lord by Paul and Silas and Timothy, who are writing this epistle. And he said, you are our rejoicing. You are what makes us rejoice. You're our joy that we won you to the Lord and that you're serving God, that you're living for God. In chapter 1, he praised how great they were doing and how they were living for God and how they were known all over the world for their great exploits for the kingdom of God. He said, that's what gives me joy and happiness and rejoicing in my life. Now look, let me ask you this. Would you rather be rich and have no joy? Or would you rather be poor and joyful every day? Think about it. Because the only purpose of having riches is what? To bring joy. And it doesn't. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. He said, joy is found in serving God. Joy is found in the presence of God. Having fellowship with God. And he said, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with them and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So you can be poor and be just as happy, or happier. You can be hated and be just as happy as the guy who's being carried around on everybody's shoulders today. You can be happy and have no money. You can be happy and have problems in your household, problems in your marriage, problems with your children, problems in church. You can have those kind of problems and still be happy. Because carefree living is not what brings happiness. Joy in the Holy Ghost. He said, trials, count them joy. Count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. Let me give you an example of my son. I took my son skiing. I hadn't been skiing in 9 years. I took my son Solomon skiing for the first time in his life a couple days ago. Now, we went down, you know, we went through some of the ones that were the green circle. Now, does everybody know the thing? You got the green circle, the blue square, and the black diamond. Who knows what I'm talking about? Put up your hand. Alright. This is how you rate the skiing. You know, green is easy, blue is difficult, black diamond is most difficult, and then the double black diamond is the super difficult, the expert. Okay? So we went skiing, and you know, there was a really, really long line at the chairlift for the bunny slope. And there were all these people on the hill. I said, Solomon, we're just going to bypass the bunny slope. You know, I know you're only 7 years old, but we're going to go straight to, you know, as long as it's a green circle, you know what I mean? You'll be fine. What's going to happen? So we get on this lift that goes all the way up to the top of the mountain. When we get to the top, if you go to the right, it was going to bring you back down around to where that long line was. But if you go to the left, you could go to this other chairlift that was only halfway down the mountain that had no lines. So I don't want to wait in line, you know? So I'm looking at this map, right? And I'm seeing on this map, if I go to the right, there's all this green, easy. And then on the left, there was this one certain way where if you went that way, it was the green route. Well, the problem is, I turned left, but now I lost the map. So here I am, and I get to a point where I look off to the right, and here was a green circle, but we had to kind of ski uphill for a little bit to get to where that path was. And then here was the blue square to my left. And he hadn't skied all. We just got off the chairlift. We just started 5 minutes ago. And I just said, you can do this. Come on. You know, let's just do this. So we just turned on the blue. The difficult. You know, with Solomon, he's seven. It was the first time, you know. And my wife had to step out because she can't handle hearing this, you know. Her mothering instincts are kicking in. So anyway, we turned to the left. And we're going down this thing. And he was doing great. He was flying. He was going down. I mean, you know, he's crashing a lot, but he's doing great. I mean, you're always going to crash a lot the first time you go skiing, right? So we went down the blue square, and he made it really well. He was doing good. You know, it was a little tough at times, but he did well. He did great. Then we got to one that was a green circle. Great, you know, so we're skiing down the green circle. He's doing great. Everything's great. Well, we took a wrong turn, and here we are at the black diamond. Okay? So we're at the top of this thing, and I mean, there was nowhere else to go. I'm looking around, like, is there any way I can kind of cut across through the trees maybe to something a little easier? But we'd taken a wrong turn, I didn't have the map, and here we are just faced with this black diamond. It was pretty steep. So I was like, okay, son, you know, I was like, okay, maybe I can kind of hold your hand and we can kind of go down this together. You know, that lasted for a little while, but obviously, you know, he let go, I let go, it wasn't working. So then he just goes flying down it. I mean, he was going, he must have been going 40 miles an hour. He's so fast. So he's flying down this thing, and he was doing well, but I'm just like, son, just crash, because, you know, he was going so fast, I was afraid he was going to hit something. I'm like, just lay it over, crash, you know. So he crashed, and, you know, he went down the rest of it, he finished it, and then we did another green circle to finish things out, a really long green circle run, and he did great. But let me ask you something. When do you think he was having the most fun at the time? Was it on the green circle, the blue square, or the black diamond? He was probably having he was probably having the most fun on the green circle. You know what I mean? Because he was just cruising along. Shh, shh, shh. On the black diamond, it was like, but hey, what do you think he's happier about today? I mean, what do you think he's bragging about today? Black diamond, you know, what do you think he said when he got on the phone with Mom on the way home? Mom, I went on a black diamond, you know, my first time. And look, on the bunny slope, sure, you don't have the blood-curdling screams, you don't have the, you don't crash at 30-some miles an hour on the bunny slope, but let's face it, the bunny slope is boring. You know what I mean? And at the time, although he was struggling hard, he felt good when he finished that black diamond. He felt good when he finished that blue square. He felt good. He was having a great time because he was being pushed through some trials, through some tribulations, through some things that are hard. And I'm going to tell you something. There's joy, and this is the last place we're going to turn, Acts 20:24. There's joy in finishing something that's hard. Are you listening? Think about how boring life would be if everything was just handed to you on a silver platter. You just laid around in bed all day. People just brought you your food. Whatever you wanted, they gave it to you. And some of you lived that life. But I'm saying, that'd be boring. Look, you know that the funnest thing when you're rafting is the worst rapids you go through. That's the most exciting part, and that's the part you talk about the next day. The most exciting part, no matter what you're doing, is the hard part, the difficult part, the strenuous part, the struggle, the fight. That's what's fun. That's what brings joy. Finishing something that's hard. Finishing something that's difficult. I mean, it's more fun to go out and go skiing on something that's too hard and finish it and beat it than to just get on some roller coaster, strap yourself in, you know. It's funner when you have to work for it. There's more joy when you accomplish something hard. Look at Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. He's talking about all the trials and tribulations and hard times. He says, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Hey, there's joy in finishing something that's hard. I mean, starting this church, to me, has been a joy because it was difficult. Because it was a challenge. Because it was a struggle. Because it's been a fight. Hey, it brings forth joy in your life to finish something that's hard. Go ahead and hang out on the bunny slope of life. Go ahead and limit yourself to the green circles of life. Hey, I don't even want to mess with the blue square. I want to go to the black diamond. I want to do something hard in life. Because, you know, skipping meals, okay? Going out soul winning until your feet are sore, preaching the gospel until you lose your voice, brings joy. It's true. Amen. Anybody who's done it will say, I enjoyed it. It was great. Come on. When you skip that meal, when you push yourself hard, when you drive all night, when you work all night, I mean, who's ever worked a 24-hour shift where you did not stop working for 24 hours? Hey, you feel good at the end of that shift. It's enjoyable to finish that course. And it's enjoyable on payday, especially. But hey, go ahead and work, you know, the clock in, clock out job. Hey, I want a job that pushes me. I want to live a Christian life that pushes me to the limits. That's where the joy is. Finishing something that's hard. Not easy street, not popularity, but struggle, fight, tribulation, temptation. Finish your course with joy. I'd rather finish with joy than to start with joy. He said, woe unto you that are full now, you'll be hungry someday. I'd rather start out hungry and finish off full than to start out full and then suffer hunger. Think about it. You want to finish out with joy. Finish the course with joy. Suffer now to have joy for a lifetime. Or you can enjoy now and suffer for a lifetime. Teenagers will go out today and enjoy now and then suffer for the rest of their life from the damage that they've done from sowing the wild oats. I'd rather go out and push myself now, suffer now, work now, and enjoy that for the rest of my life. And really, for the rest of all eternity, enjoy the fruit that I've sown, out sowing the seeds of the Word of God, out soul winning. I'm never going to regret that. All throughout eternity, I'll be glad I did that. But how glad are you of the things that you're seeking for joy? And go ahead and tell me about joy. Tell me your method of joy, because you don't agree with my sermon, you don't agree with what I'm saying brings joy. Okay, let's see how... I know you. You're not joyful, okay? And so, don't tell me how to have joy out in the world, because I know everybody who lives out in the world. I've never seen somebody who lives out in the world. Maybe an unbeliever can have joy, you know, out in the world. I've never known a Christian who lives a worldly and simple life who was somebody that was really joyful and friendly to be around. They're a complainer, right? I mean, and the Bible says when the people complain, it displeased the Lord. They complain, they're down in the mouth, they're upset, everything's going against them all the time. Everything's going against all of us all the time. But some of us just take it as a challenge. And some of us can still have joy in the Holy Ghost. And so don't listen to the world, don't listen to somebody who's down in the mouth tell you how to live your life. Listen to somebody who has joy this morning telling you how to have joy from the Bible. And God's presence is fullness of joy. If you want to experience joy, why don't you in 2009 kick up your Christianity a level, kick up your soul winning, kick up your Bible reading, kick up your prayer, live for God. You will have the most enjoyable year that you've ever had in your life. It may be rough at times. It may be painful at times. Solomon, you know, had a bloody lip at one point. You know, there was pain involved. But he loved every minute of it. He's thrilled about it. And so, realize that even though it could be hard this year, and listen to this, the more you live for God this year, the harder it's going to be. It's true. I mean, the more you push yourself for God, it'll be harder. Oh, if you live for God, things are going to be easy. It's all going to fall into place. That is not true. If you want to live an easy year, if you want 2009 to be the easiest, just most coasting year of your life, just be half in, half out, wishy-washy, do the minimum, right? Do what you're comfortable. But hey, if you go out and live for God and really push yourself this year, push yourself to do more you've ever done, this will be the hardest year of your life. But I promise you, you will have more joy this year than you've ever had in your life. And those two things go hand in hand. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, please just help us not to be deceived by the idea that living an easy, happy, popular, money-filled life is going to bring happiness to your God and joy in the long run. Help us understand that it's the hard times that bring joy. It's serving God and being with God's people and singing the hymns and winning people to Christ that brings real lasting joy. It's finishing something hard. It's accomplishing something great for God against all the odds. Help us not to be deceived by the world. Help us to live a life that's pleasing to you and that also brings us joy. Help us not to be down in the mouth or sad or upset. Help us to just every single day to rejoice evermore. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, let's go ahead and take our songbooks.